I want to welcome you to the Arrow Heights Podcast, broadcasting live from Arrow Heights Baptist Church in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. My name is Ryan Smith.
My name's Nathan Copeland.
And I'm Josh White.
Well, Josh, it's good to be here with you.
It's good to be here with you and not with Nathan. I don't know. I mean, it's not good to be not with Nathan, but Nathan's not here.
Nathan's not here. Nathan is in Florida, but not on a vacation of sorts. Watching his son play baseball at a tournament down there.
He did say it was beautiful, and I felt like that was a taunt. Did you not receive that as a taunt?
I did, but I dismiss it outright, because that's one of the great things about living in Oklahoma.
That's true.
Is the severe weather that comes through.
That's true.
You never know, you're not going to get that. I mean, you get that from time to time in Florida, but it's not the same.
Yeah. I mean, you can see it coming for like 2 or 3 days out. I mean, hurricanes.
Yeah.
That's what, who needs to prep for that?
Like, and then it's like, it's really, you know what you're going to get with that. With Oklahoma, it's like, there's a watch.
Mm-hmm.
There's a probability.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or like yesterday, we're sitting here doing the Colorado training in the student center, and Lara texts me and she goes, "Hey, are you watching the weather?" And I was like, "Nope." She goes, "There's a lowering at 81st and 145th. I was like, "That's 2 miles away. Oh, we've heard no sirens." And I look outside and it just starts dumping down rain. Like, I was like, "We could have died."
Yeah.
This is Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Hey, Florida, we'll raise your hurricanes. Here's our 17 tornadoes without any kind of notice whatsoever.
Yeah. God. Yeah, so, you know, they get sun.
Yeah.
Good for them. They have oranges.
And humidity. Blah. Yeah. They can have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We get snow.
Yeah.
I'll take that trade any day.
That's right. Let's go. Well, we are one fry short of a happy meal, but no less engaged. And so we're looking forward to talking through. We've got a couple of questions today. And so we want to go ahead and record just so you didn't have to go a week without listening to our sultry voices. Do we have sultry? I think you have sultry voice.
No.
You don't?
No.
I think you do.
No.
I think everyone acknowledges that you have the podcast voice.
I have the voice of a semi-large Keebler elf.
I'm not sure what to do with that one.
It's not high and squeaky, but there's a to it that is definitely elfish. So it would be.
I think we can make it worse.
it would be a moderate to large size Keebler elf.
Oh my goodness. If you are still with us, we're going to actually get a little bit serious now and talk about prayer.
Yeah, good.
Oh my goodness. So our first question, diving right in, just says, "Hey guys, do you have any tips to improve prayer life and make it feel less repetitive?"
Mm. Yeah. My first response would be, why does it feel repetitive? I think there are great resources to help one's prayer life. I'll be glad to discuss those. But, you know, people struggle with prayer for different reasons. Perhaps it's just kind of the one-sided nature of the dialogue. You know, I know that could be difficult for some. For some people, when they say it's, you know, repetitive, perhaps it's just a matter of what you're praying for or what you are actually praying. Maybe you spend a lot of time praying for things when you should spend more time just praying to God, thanking Him for what He has done, remembering His works in your life and throughout history, and looking forward. Praying Scripture is certainly a great way to do this. The Psalms give us a wonderful template for that, to pray through what God has done, who God is, even in difficult situations and circumstances, tuning our hearts and our eyes to remember what God has done, because it's kind of that, as we talked about yesterday, that sum or that bottom line, but we remember, great is the steadfast faithfulness of the Lord. So there can be different issues with our prayer lives. But I think the best resource, I would say, is the Scripture. If you don't know what to pray, don't know how to pray, just start praying through portions of Scripture. You might take what we looked at yesterday in Ephesians 1, 7 through 10, and say, "God, thank you for redemption. These are different ways that I see that impacting my life. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for wisdom and insight. But God, I don't feel very wise. I don't feel like I have insight, or I need wisdom about this situation or insight on this situation," and pray directly in accordance with those things. There are also really good books on prayer. Tim Keller has a really good book just called Prayer that I would highly recommend. But also, I think, at least for me personally, one of the best things that has helped my prayer life has been to study the Trinity. Mm. And I know that seems strange, but sometimes when we're just lobbing prayers up to God without necessarily thinking about what we're doing, we think of when we think of the Holy Spirit's role and that the Spirit is there with us, listening to every word, forming every word. Sometimes we don't know what to pray. The Bible says that those inner groanings, the Spirit takes those and puts them in the right wording, that Christ is interceding for us, that all of these prayers that we pray go through the blood of Christ, almost like a waterfall. They're washed pure, and they go before God the Father, the author of history. You know, so when we think of the different roles of the Trinity, God, the Godhead, three and one, it helps us think about functionally what we are actually doing, and it makes us thankful for the processes that our prayers get to go through, and it makes them more, perhaps feel more heard in a way. So I think Delighting in the Trinity is a really good book that outlines some of those things, but yeah, I'd say learn about the Trinity, read about prayer, and then pray through the scripture.
I would encourage people also to change your setting. And so I know that that sounds really like that's lame, but like I've found some of the best times in prayer have been when I'm on a walk with the dog. You got to walk the dog every day. So use that time to pray. And I totally get the prayer for a meal. Our boys, whenever they were younger, they would pray the exact same prayers every night, you know, help everyone who feels sick to feel better, you know? And so you'd get used to those lines. And I don't think that's necessarily bad things to pray those same things. And yet changing your setting oftentimes will change the things that you pray for. Just kind of helps clear your head, focus on things. I love to be in nature. And even just something as simple as reading a psalm out loud, can be considered prayer. The other thing I would say is don't isolate prayer to a 5-minute sit down. I have to be sitting and praying. One of the best things I've done, and this isn't about the tools of prayer necessarily, but using an app called the Echo app, what it has done is I can put all of my prayer requests that people have given me that I'm working through. I can put all of them into that app, and I'll get random notifications throughout the day to my Apple Watch. Like, thank God for technology. It's one way to use it. And it just hits my watch, and I'll feel that ping, and I'll look down, and I'll just stop and pray right in that moment. And so while it's not how to overcome the repetitiveness of prayer, it does keep me in that mindset of the 1 Thessalonians 5:17 of praying without ceasing, like that consistent prayer throughout the day. One other tool that we got was these chips. You know, we were at a conference last week and they gave us chips. They had a session on prayer, and it's 8 chips. And so throughout the workday, you move one prayer chip to the other side of your computer, your keyboard, as you pray each hour of the day. So 8 hours a day, you've got 8 chips. And so it's a consistent mindset as opposed to just a locked into a setting of I've got to pray for 5 minutes. Because if you're trying to fill 30 minutes of prayer, like you're thinking, what do I even say? You know? And then you get to that repetition aspect and you're like, I don't even know what to say. But then you get to just what you said, Romans 8, like pray and allow the Spirit to lead you in that prayer. And if you're not talking, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Just dwell on the things of the Lord. Like, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above is what Colossians says. And so considering who Christ is, I think is a huge aspect of keeping that repetition or avoiding that repetition.
Yeah.
So
yeah, but prayer has to be built into your day. You have to be intentional about it, or you'll skip right over it.
Yeah.
For something quote unquote more important. Do that all the time, unfortunately. But also, it shouldn't just be the times that are built in. And sometimes it may be just a matter of saying, God, I don't know what to pray for. Would you bring to mind things that I need to pray for?
Yeah.
And God's faithful to do that. Bring, whether it's a person, a circumstance, an aspect of his character or nature, and God's faithful in that. So don't be afraid to spend time in quiet and listening in prayer as well.
Books like The Valley of Vision that are mm-hmm. pre-written prayers, and you're like, well, I don't want to read what somebody else has written. They're heavily influenced by Scripture. And reading through those often will cultivate worship in the moment of prayer. And it's not just, you know, you're not just start to finish the same prayer over and over again. It's just mm-hmm. kind of fresh and yeah. poetic to a degree.
Yeah.
But we don't like poetry on this podcast. So
we like it. We're learning.
We're learning
to like it more.
I'm not going to say because we haven't had any poetry submissions in quite a while. So
that's true.
That's okay. That's okay. Cool. Well, we're praying for you as you wrestle through what it means to pray. Obviously, one of the weakest points. I think most honest Christians would say prayer is the hardest spiritual discipline to overcome, or one that they need to work on the most. And I think we're all in that same boat. And so we are praying for you as you learn to pray better. So yeah. Cool. All right, next one comes from one of our girls' small group from students on Wednesday nights.
Awesome, love it.
Yeah, it says, our student small group girls read and discussed the passage 1 Timothy 2, verses 8 through 15 during our time together on Wednesday. Using our various translations and some study Bibles, we talked about what verse 15 speaks of when it says, saved through childbearing. We'd like to ask our pastors, what does verse 15 mean? She will be saved through childbearing.
Yeah, well, it's a very great question. Thank you for sending it in. Thank you for interacting with the text and interacting with Bible study resources and materials. I applaud that. Great job, group of girls. Keep it up. But yeah, this certain verse certainly raises a lot of questions. She shall be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. It sounds like on the surface that childbearing is a means of salvation for the woman. Now, this is where it's important that we take the hermeneutic principle to let all the rest of the scripture interpret the scripture. And what we see throughout the rest of the scripture is that salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone.
Amen.
That's for Jew and Gentile, male and female. That's across the board. That's the only way we are saved. So with that understanding, what then does Paul mean in this letter to Timothy? Well, what is the letter to Timothy? It's a letter that Paul is writing, instructing him how to oversee the church and how to address issues in the church. And so what we see in Ephesians chapter 2 up to this point is Paul kind of addressing the way that men and women approach the worship gathering, saying, you know, guys, you know, in 2:8, desire that in every place men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Well, the problem was they were not lifting holy hands, and they were having anger, and they were quarreling. Verse 9, likewise, women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair or gold pearls or costly attire. That doesn't mean braided hair is the devil or gold or pearls, but what's he saying? He's saying that when you come together, there should be a humility and a purpose behind the gathering. And that purpose is to pray, to honor, to praise God, and not to draw attention to oneself. And so the way that Paul applies this, he goes back to the beginning of creation. He looks at Adam and Eve. We see verse 13, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Now, we do know Adam was deceived, but that's the verse right before the yet she will be saved through childbearing. So if we look back at Genesis chapter 3, we see that the curse that was placed on the man was that in the way that he uniquely knows creation, which is in farming and
cultivating.
Yeah. In cultivation, it's now going to fight back against him. Mm. It's going to be hard, just as God's creation is fighting back against him. The woman's unique way of understanding creation is through childbearing, and so the curse in that is it's going to be painful. It's going to be difficult. And that's not necessarily just the actual birth process. So it's kind of rearing children. So we see that was the curse given to the woman. Now, this word saved through childbearing, it's important to know how Paul uses this phrase through, and this is kind of a translation of a word that can be translated a couple different ways, from, to, through, etc. But and there are lots of ideas on what this means, but this is kind of one that I'm most persuaded by. But in 1 Corinthians 3:15, Paul says, if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. It says, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Now, Paul is not saying that the man will be saved by fire. Mm-hmm. He's saying that he goes through fire, and even though he goes through that fire, he will be saved. So in that way, we can see this verse, it should be saved through childbearing, even going through or enduring this specific curse in this specific context, which really kind of applies to all sin. And I think the reason that we can validate that is that the verse continues. It doesn't just stop there. It says, if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. So those are fruits of the Spirit. And so we know that basically what Paul is saying is that the salvation is by the same means as anyone else. It's through the blood and the death of Jesus Christ. But by continuing to exercise and show these fruits of the Spirit, faith, love, holiness, with self-control, it means they are being saved even though they go through what's referred to as childbearing, which is just kind of the curse of sin that we all walk through in the world. And so that's kind of the context that Paul sets forth with Adam and Eve. So that's the general way that we should understand what he's talking about there with childbearing. So it's not that women will be saved by childbearing. It's women will be saved if they continue in the faith, even though these sinful distractions and sinful temptations persist.
I think that's super helpful because it really provides hope in the midst of it. So, you know, Paul talking in the context of worship, I mean, even though we've got all of these distractions of sin that we struggle with, it points us to the greater redemption that we have to look forward to as we go through just this broken and sinful life. Is that kind of in a nutshell?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Whatever the trial is, you can be saved through that, but it's not by drawing attention to yourself. It's not by fighting against or with others. It's focusing on Christ and not giving into the temptations, in the very same temptations that have echoed from the garden.
Yeah, it's super helpful. And not only does it do that, but it kind of takes away the frustration piece of this whole passage, because this is, you know, a hot button passage. You know, people will get up in arms and, well, I think it's this. I think it's this. Well, you're being a jerk. Well, I mean, the truth is we're not pointing to the specific aspects of this, except in the way that they point to the greater issue of sin and the hope that we have on the other side. Mm-hmm. So praise the Lord for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Super. Cool. Well, that's all the questions we have.
Oh, all right.
Do you got anything else you want to talk about?
Speaking of prayer, this is probably a great thing to discuss. I mean, we've talked about this a little bit as we've gone along, but we really, and you and I were talking about this right before the podcast, we really sense that God is pushing the church in general, but our church specifically, toward prayer. And we want to be a people of prayer. And one of the ways that we are going to be doing this, just in listening to how God has been working in the lives and the minds of some of the folks in our congregation, of just having a strong burden for prayer and being willing to act and work on it. And so something that we're going to start instituting on, it'll be Sunday, May 12th, which is Mother's Day, but it'll be the first Sunday that we start to do this. And we're going to do this every single Sunday. We're going to have a small group of folks, just an open door invitation on Sunday morning at 9:15 in the worship center, 9:15 to about 10, so we're not overlapping with the time of worship, a time of guided by the scripture prayer together. And you can come if you don't have if your small group doesn't meet on the, during that Sunday morning time, you're welcome to come. Now, if your small group does meet on that, we're encouraging all of our small groups to set up a bit of a rotation. Have a couple or a person that goes to that prayer time once a month, once every 2 months, depending on how many people you have in your small group, so that your group can be prayed for, so we can hear about what's going on, but so we can all also be involved. We don't want this to be in competition with our small groups, even though it's at the same time. We want to allow it to be a time that our small groups can also filter through, so our small groups can be people of prayer as well, that can be kind of built in. So we're kicking all of this off on May 8th. That's a Wednesday night. That's our last cross training. And on that night, we are going to have a night of prayer and praise. And we're going to hear from Charlie Townsend, who is one of the great guys in our church, who's kind of spearheading a lot of this. We're going to be talking about the importance of prayer, how we pray, why we should pray, why we should pray now, why this is an impetus for us as a church family, and kind of modeling that. So I really highly recommend that night. We won't be breaking up into our groups, but it'll be that Wednesday night, 6:30, during the normal cross-training time. We'll have a time of prayer together, a time of praise together. Our church needs this, and we praise God for this, because I believe that there's something great that God wants to do and will continue to do as we turn and focus to Him. And so after that, every Sunday morning, 9:15, in the worship center, there will be a small group of folks ready and available to pray. Talk to your small group, set up a rotation so your group can be represented, so we can make sure and have prayer as a key emphasis in the life of our church family.
Amen. Amen. We're looking forward to that time. So, very good. Well, hey, short but sweet, one fry short of a happy meal. And thank you for listening to this edition of the Arrow Heights Podcast. We'll be back next time.